You're listening to Let's Talk Fantasy Football, where men of fantasy genius have realized,
hey guys, we don't need real football skills to dominate on the fantasy field. Oh,
yeah. Yeah. So slap on your pads and grab your helmet. Shit's about to get real.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, to another edition of Let's Talk Fantasy Football. I am your host, Nick Schreck. And joining me today, guys, is just me. I am here for part one of the Week 14 preview, and I am blessed to be here. It is Week 14. That means it's playoff time, guys. I am fortunate enough to be in the playoffs for the League of Record, and some of you guys may still be competing to get in, and if you guys are in, we're pumped you've been here for the journey so far. So we're excited to see if we can push you over the edge and to get you to the second round of the playoffs, or maybe even push you into the playoffs. I'll be covering part one of the Week 14 preview, guys. Nick Walsh will be covering part two. That'll be dropping to you guys Saturday the 7th at about 8 p.m. Eastern. So if it is beyond that time, part two is out. Highly recommend you listen in. He's going to fine-tune you guys, give you the second half of the games, and he is undoubtedly the smartest guy we've got. So if you need a little extra edge as you go into the week, please check out part two. And I hope you stay around for part one. We're going to have some fun. We're going to buzz through some of these games, guys, without the witty banter that you're used to. I do not want to bore you guys as I go through the games. So without further ado, let's kick things off, and let's start with the Colts at the Buccaneers. Colts plus three. The latest update I'm seeing, guys, is that T.Y. Hilton is going to be out. He had made a comment that he wasn't sure if he's going to return this year. Not great. I'm a big T.Y. Hilton owner. Sucks to hear. But what that does, guys, is creates that opportunity for Zach Pascal. He's the number one de facto receiver there. With T.Y. Hilton out, guys, he's seen 7-6, 7-6, and 10 targets, respectively. I would say he kind of stays around that wide receiver two usage level, and he gets what is arguably the worst defense against fantasy receivers this week in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So I think that's obviously great news for Pascal owners, not so much for T.Y. Hilton owners unless you own Pascal, who is, I'm sure, not on the waiver wire or shouldn't be at this point in the season and playoff push. But important to note, Marlon Mack is expected to play. I'm hearing he's not going to be on a pitch count, so that obviously is exciting for those of you that own Marlon Mack. I will caution you that as much as it's – you can't believe in Jacoby Brissett, right? But he's playing against a defense that Don, Vinny, Rodgers, Walsh, any of us could go out there and have a decent day against, I think. So I think there's way more action in the air than there is on the ground. For Marlon Mack, you know, he's returning from a hand injury. I just think he's closer to 15 touches this week versus maybe that upside of 25 when they were kind of feeding him the ball and he looked good. So I don't think they, although he's not respectively on a pitch count, I am slightly concerned about his usage just because I think there's more through the air. I think they want to make sure to see that he is fully healthy despite being good to go, so to speak. On the rest of the Colts side of the ball, guys, I think it's really just Jack Doyle, right? And as crazy as it sounds, and we talk about spinning the wheel and all these opportunities, Jack Doyle's a tight end one. You know, I think just the opportunity is there. When T.Y. Hilton misses games, you know, his first game with Eric Ebron out, he's obviously on IR. RIP, Ebron, we love you. Doyle saw 11 targets, and he gets the 29th ranked defense against fantasy football tight ends. So obviously not a not a great matchup for the Buccaneers. It is a great matchup for the Colts versus this Buccaneers defense. So frustrating to say the least for them. Let's move on, and there's nothing else on the Colts side of the ball, so let's move on and talk on the Buccaneers side of the ball. All right, guys, I think on the Buccaneers side of the ball, obviously led by Jameis Winston, who is just the production hasn't always come together for him, so I'm not interested in pursuing the Jameis Winston option against a Colts pass defense or a Colts defense that's been better against the pass than against the run. So I think you know, that brings us to the receiving game, unquestionably, guys. Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, they're PPR wide receiver two and wide receiver three through 12 weeks. Flip flop them, actually. Godwin is two, Evans is three. But, you know, regardless of the matchup, guys, they are bona fide wide receiver ones. I know they are boom or bust for some of you guys, and it sucks. But when they go off, you can't ask for much more than that. So Breshad Perriman has his best performance of the season in week 13, goes 5-for-6 for 87 scoreless yards. We're not chasing his production in week 14. He's a waste. It's the first time all year that a Buccaneers wide receiver managed to clear 50 yards or a field stretching wide receiver, according to Roto World. So I think despite the tougher pass defense, I think there's nothing to worry about here for those two guys. They have to be in your lineup. As far as a tight end, I still think that the tight end position here is irrelevant for the Buccaneers. O.J. Howard had his second most productive game of the season in week 13. Catches 5-for-6 for 61 scoreless yards, but he had an 83% snap rate, which is what we like to see. Cameron Brait, just 2 targets over the past 2 weeks, playing in what essentially amounts to a part-time role, if you will. So no interest there at all for them. I think that about does it on the Buccaneers side of the ball. Let's pick this game, and I am taking the Indianapolis Colts. And let's move right along, guys, on to the Ravens at the Buffalo Bills. So Ravens are -5.5 at the Buffalo Bills. Lamar Jackson, we'll start on the Ravens side of the ball, is a stud. We don't really have to waste our breath here. He is a QB1. He is in your lineup, and that is what it is. Mark Ingram is a running back too, while touchdown dependent running back too, kind of all season. The Buffalo defense is good, but there's nothing you're going to do here. Not being a receiving back is kind of what has hurt the upside of Mark Ingram, but when he goes off, he goes off. We've seen him in the end zone with multiple TDs, and I think he'll be just fine here against the Bills defense. I think this game is closer than what we've been used to, right, with what we've watched the Ravens kind of just go on in this blowout spree. I think it's a better game. I actually was texting with a buddy the other day about he's a Buffalo Bills fan, obviously very pumped on the season, very optimistic on where the future is going to go for this franchise. And we were talking about the line and, you know, what I thought. And I think it's still the Ravens win. I think it's a closer game than many people think. And, you know, I don't think we see the explosion of fantasy points or even regular points for the Ravens that we are used to in this matchup. I think it's a little more realistic, for lack of a better term. And the wide receiver group, guys, Marquise Brown, he's the only wide receiver you could be interested here in this matchup, right? I'm just looking here. He's got a brutal matchup here against Tre'Davious White, who's for the most part been pretty good in his shadow matchups from weeks 9 through 13. Terry McLaurin, 4-for-39 on 6 targets. Odell, 5-for-57 on 12. Devontae Parker had a nice day, 7-for-135 on 10. Cortland Sutton, 1-for-27 on 8 targets. So I think that Tre'Davious White shadows Marquise Brown. I think it's realistic that he has a not great day. We know he has the ability to break it, but I just, you know, you look at some of his numbers here, and from week 10 to week 13, he's wide receiver 14, wide receiver 72, wide receiver 9, wide receiver 108. So he is very all up and down. Obviously, if you missed his big blow up, then you can't keep chasing it. He's a boom or bust wide receiver 3 in the matchup, guys. So it depends on your other options, but I think you have to know that you could very well end up with a 2-for-23-0 in this matchup here against the Buffalo Bills. As far as the tight end position goes, Mark Andrews trails only Zach Ertz and Travis Kelce in PPR points since the Ravens' Week 8 bye. He is a locked-in tight end one. No question about it. That's really it on the Ravens' side of the ball, guys. It's pretty short and sweet, and it makes it easy for me as I try and blow through this here for you guys. Let's go to the Bills' side of the ball. John Brown has finally showed us a bit of a floor, right? Over the past couple of weeks, 2-for-39 and a touchdown, 3-for-26 and 0 on a combined 8 targets. So, you know, he had a 28-yard touchdown pass, which for John Brown owners was a nice saving grace and not how we expected him to get his points, but that's the way it goes. Josh Allen's been down in his pass attempts. you know, as the Bills have kind of been, I don't want to say shocking us all, but they're winning by double-digit points. They're looking good. They're kind of making things happen. It's just not a great matchup with the Ravens, right? And they don't have a great schedule the rest of the way, quite frankly. Week 14 versus the Ravens. The Ravens are number 15 defense in PPR per game allowed to opposing wide receivers. You hate to see it. The Steelers are number 11 in week 15 and week 16. The Patriots are number one. So not a great stretch as you guys are either in the fantasy playoffs, staring down the barrel of the fantasy playoffs. So definitely not some great things. Brown is a upside wide receiver two. Cole Beasley, I think, is the real question mark, right? Because 6 for 76 and 1 and 6 for 110 and 1 over the past 2 weeks. So he's PPR wide receiver 15 since the Bills week 6 bye. He gets Humphrey in the slot this week, and I got to think he's like a low wide receiver 3, maybe a high wide receiver 4. I really think that's all you can expect. That's a roll of the dice. At the tight end position, guys, Dawson Knox. There's nothing consistent there. He surpassed 35 yards just once since the Bills week 6 bye. Scored twice all season. Tyler Kroft is grabbing a couple targets here and there for that team. So unfortunately, nothing you can necessarily rely on there. And Devin Singletary, you can roll him out there as well. As if you've been playing Frank Floor, I hate it if you've been listening to the podcast for even just this year, but for past years, always a guy that just kills my freaking soul to talk about, because I feel like he's just got to drop off and he always kind of makes it happen. But alas, I digress. If you've been rolling him, not the best matchup against the Ravens, but they will. The Bills are going to be just fine. I think it's just it's a closer game than many people think. And I'm going to pick it. And as I said before, I'm taking the Ravens, guys. All right, guys, let's talk Lions and Vikings. Also coming at you on the 1 o'clock slate. I'm going to start at the top of the team here for the Lions with David Blau under center. Who surprisingly kind of made things happen there on Thanksgiving. Obviously no fantasy value for him solo, but he did provide some fantasy production for Galladay and some of these other guys. Galladay went 4 of 5 for 158 yards and a touchdown. The Lions didn't get away from kind of getting the ball downfield and going with the deep ball. So that's a good thing for the future. We'll say his distribution guys. Hawkinson with 11 targets, now on IR. Danny Amendola, 8. Marvin Jones, 6. Galladay, 5. McKissick and Ty Johnson combined for 5 targets, which is a little concerning for Scarborough. Again, nothing that you're going to take him out. Scarborough, I think, is a running back 3 for you guys. He's going to average, I'd say, about 15 touches. He's been fine, and that's when with the Lions not not getting shit done. So he's a running back 3. McKissick and Johnson are, I think, not relevant, so to speak, for fantasy. It's just going to take away some production elsewhere. But I'm not worried about the Hawkinson being out, being on IR. I think it just kind of creates some opportunity for some of these other guys. The Lions have an opportunity here, I think, to put up some points against a secondary that has been beat up by some wide receivers. Rhodes is Pro Football Focus's number 114th ranked cornerback among 124 qualified corners. Alexander, 33, and Wayne, 79. So Alexander, the best of the bunch. I get they're in Minnesota. It's different, in a home spot. But I think they're going to be okay. Galladay is more wide receiver 3. I think Jones is a wide receiver 4. Amendola is a wide receiver 4 as well. Obviously, just different options. You're probably looking elsewhere outside of Kenny Galladay, but I think that they will, well, at least Galladay will be okay. The other ones, boom or bust, not something that I don't think you can trust. With Hawkinson on IR, guys, Jesse James and Logan Thomas splitting snaps in his absence. Neither of them are relevant as far as I'm concerned for streaming or fantasy relevance for you. On the flip side of the ball, guys, Vikings. Let's start with the, I guess, do we have to start with the running game? There's really not much to talk about as far as fantasy points are concerned. Dalvin Cook is a start, and that's it. I don't think, you know, they said he sat out because they're looking towards the future. As far as I know, he is healthy, and as long as he's active, you're good to go. Nothing to sweat. Wide receivers, guys, Stephon Diggs gets Darius Slay. They faced off four times since Diggs has entered the league in 2015. He's gone 6 for 108 and a touchdown, 5 for 98, 5 for 66, 2 for 10 and 1 touchdown in 2018. So a little bit all over the board here. It's fair to be a little bit concerned, right? Because he has the sky-high ceiling, but he's failed to clear 50 yards in 3 or 4 games. So it's understandable to have some concern. We don't know Thielen's status yet, dealing with the hamstring. Is he going to go? Is he not? I want to say I'm leaning towards he's probably not going to go, but we'll see if any news comes out as I'm recording this part. Diggs is a wide receiver too in a tough matchup, but I still think he's in your lineup here as you're in the playoffs or making that playoff push. If Adam Thielen is active, hopefully that means he is fully healthy, as they've been obviously playing this like take our time game, which is good. Then he's in a smash spot against Coleman. I'm just seeing he joins Logan Ryan as the only cornerback to allow over 500 yards while in slot coverage this season. So we'll keep an eye out. I think Thielen ends up not playing. If he does, he should be in your lineup. Laquon Treadwell is not relevant. I know he had the 58-yard touchdown. Just don't go chasing points, guys. It's a waste of your time. Kyle Rudolph, 6 touchdowns in 6 games. He's a tight end one, guys. He's got the Lions' 27th ranked defense in DVOA against the position. He's gonna give you a lot of fear, because that's exactly what happened when I watched this game last week with some coworkers. But he's got into the end zone, and that's ultimately, you can't ask for more. But you are risking the zero. You have to know that when you roll with Kyle Rudolph. Very well can go 1 for 10 with a touchdown. But can also give you zero or just 20 yards, whatever, and not a huge upside. So just keep that in mind. I don't want to see you guys come back and say, well, you fucking told me it was okay to do. I did not entirely what I meant, though, when I said it. But, guys, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk Redskins, Packers, and then I've got 5 games left for you in part 1 of the Week 14 preview.
Have you thought about trying sports betting but aren't sure how it'll go? Our friends at FanDuel are giving away a $50 sign-up bonus at letstalkfantasyfootball.com/FanDuel-sportsbook.
All right, guys, and we are back. We're going to jump right back into it. 1 o'clock games, the Redskins at the Packers. Let's start on the Redskins side of the ball. And let's start with Scary Terry as I'm looking at my notes and I'm laughing to myself. It really depends on what side of Terry you want to look at, right? He turns in his worst performance of his career in Week 13. He goes 2 for 4 for 8 scoreless yards. He's now finished with fewer than 75 receiving yards in 6 consecutive games. He has 6 or fewer pass opportunities in 5 of his last 6 games. Just red flag, right? Not great as you kind of look at the opportunities. I don't think you can trust him here in this matchup at all. Dwayne Haskins didn't feed anyone more than 5 targets in week 13. He's thrown for 144, 214, 156, and 147 yards in 4 starts this season. This is a passing game you just need to stay away from. And I think, quite frankly, that sums up everything really on that side of the ball. Darius Juice and Adrian Peterson. I'm trying to think. I had a good note on them, and I just hold on. I'm jumping around. I apologize, guys. My notes are a little bit frozen on me. And we're back. Darius Geis, he obviously has a huge breakout against the Panthers. 10-129 for two. But the Panthers are bad, especially against the run. Adrian Peterson out snapped and out carried Juice. Chris Thompson also played 23 snaps. It's still a three-way committee regardless of what we've seen from Juice. My concern is that while the Packers are 28th in run defense, guys, they're going to blow the Redskins out. So based on their passing yards, their pace, I don't know that I can feel comfortable expecting Geist to really perform. He's a low running back three. Adrian Peterson, Chris Thompson, not relevant for me. I get the argument that it could be a Terry McLaurin game because I expect them to be blown out. They have to throw the ball. I haven't seen enough that at this point can support anything. He had the bad game. I don't know. I can't get behind it. You may not have another option. It's more of a personal, and Donald like this, a gut feeling on Terry McLaurin, just based on, a small sample size of, six fewer pass game opportunities than 5 of 6. I just don't know that I can believe Dwayne Haskins is gonna get it done for you in the fantasy playoffs. So I'm avoiding. It could go the wrong way because I do expect the Redskins to get blown out, but no confidence there. No interest in the tight end. Jeremy Sprinkle, great last name though. So we will we'll give him that. Aaron Rodgers on the Packers side of the ball. Finally, he hasn't been the Aaron Rodgers of old, right? Where we used to be able to consistently count on him and his production. But if you started him last week, you were obviously very happy with him. And sorry, guys. He's overall QB 12 in fantasy points per game. Finishes week 13 as QB number one. First multi-score game since week 8. He gets a bad Redskins defense. And I think this is not even a get-right game here, but I think he's the start of the week at QB. Sam Darnold was QB 7 against them. Kyle Allen was a QB 8. I'd imagine him and Davante Adams are a highly stacked combo, also highly paid, because they are not going to come cheap. But I do anticipate a lot of getting down, so to speak, there for those two. Since Adams has returned in week 9, guys, he's had 43 targets. Jamal Williams comes up next at 19, and then the list kind of very, very quickly closes in on itself. He's a top 5 play against just one of 8 defenses to allow at least 15 touchdowns to opposing wide receivers this season. The rotation behind Adams is still a little muddy, if you will. I think Lazard is the only one you could consider. He seems to have some kind of chemistry there. Low floor, I think, with Adams dominating targets and healthy, but I think he's the sole other wide receiver that you can make make the argument for, but I think he's a low wide receiver four. Jimmy Graham is I'm not playing ball. He's got 20 or fewer yards in 4 of his last 5 games. Hasn't scored a TD since week 7. Look at some other options, guys. I've already hit a few guys that could fit. I think I'm sure Walsh will hit a few as I've looked at some of those matchups to consider. So you can't. I get it. Sometimes we go chasing all points. With Davante Adams back, he is the king in town. There's no question about it. Let's pick this game. I am taking the Green Bay Packers, and that's an easy one. Let's move on to the Broncos and the Texans, guys. 1 o'clock game here. They are playing in Houston. Let's start on the Broncos side of the ball. Cortland Sutton. What a nice surprise, so to speak. He caught a pair of touchdowns in Casey Hayward's shadow coverage last week. Awesome job. The concern is a little bit of concern, right, is volume. He doesn't have double-digit targets in a single game this season. Drew Lock's target distribution hasn't so far given us hope that changes. Sutton had 5 targets, and then it was 5-4-3-3-3-2-1. So it is what it is. Sutton's PPR wide receiver 16 on the season. He's a wide receiver 2 without question. He's in your lineup. I just hope him and Drew Lock kind of build that connection a little bit, particularly as you stare down the barrel of a potential fantasy championship, guys. There's nobody else. I'm not interested in Deshaun Hamilton, Jeff Huerman, and that tells you how much you need to even be concerned. Noah Fant, a little bit of frustrating after all the upside, the hype and excitement that came here from Walsh and everything else. But right now, he's an upside tight end too at best. Maybe a good future, but for 2019 and as you're in the playoffs here, not something that you can trust, unfortunately. So that's the way it goes, guys. Philip Lindsay, he's a borderline running back two, running back three. He's the clear cut back. Royce Freeman is 10 or fewer touches in four straight games. Low end running back two is probably more accurate. He's averaging just under 14 carries and 1.5 receptions over that time span as he's taken over kind of that quote unquote lead role. So that's going to do it on the Broncos side of the ball, guys. Let's flip it over and talk about the Houston Texans. DeAndre Hopkins expected to get Chris Harris in a possible shadow matchup here. Hopkins won a decent amount of his battles against Stephon Gilmore on Sunday night. He gets himself a little passing touchdown for a lateral to Deshaun Watson. So that's cool if you were a DeAndre Hopkins owner. He's on pace, guys, for 115 catches for just over 1,200 yards and 8 touchdowns. Not the best matchup, but we've seen some guys do it against Chris Harris, Stephon Diggs, Tyreek Hill, John Brown, OBJ. He's a wide receiver one no matter what. I just think it's probably more of what you've seen in of Hopkins than necessarily a blow-up kind of game. Kenny Stills, Will Fuller. There's just no floor, right? I think based on their targets with Hopkins underneath, and then the running backs and tight ends and everything else, their boomer bust wide receiver threes, I'd say probably closer to a high end wide receiver four, on the boomer bust scale. Will Fuller obviously just missed one, but that's the way the cookie crumbles. So, upside plays if you gotta roll with dice, guys. Tight end Darren Fells, at least 60% of the team's snaps in every game since week two. 7 touchdowns this season. The concern is 2 or fewer receptions in 9 of 12 games. It's a good offense if you need someone TD dependent. That's a good option. I think I'd rather roll the dice on Darren Fells than I would on Kyle Rudolph, who are both, I think, very tight end, touchdown dependent tight ends. You know, again, that's probably just based on the offense, Deshaun Watson, and kind of all that good stuff. I think that's what I do. I think I'd play Darren Fells, which hopefully you're not in that position right now, guys, but you very well may be. Tight end has been a bit of a disaster. I've been hoping and praying for Hoop Daddy to be healthy and be back. It's important to note, guys, Will Fuller has a hamstring injury. He is questionable for week 14 against the Broncos. Didn't get in a ton of practice time after a setback. So I don't know that he goes, but something that you do definitely need to keep in mind. I apologize. I'm losing my voice a little bit, guys. On the running back situation, I'm a little bit concerned about Carlos Hyde. He's kind of been on that downtrend, under 70 rushing yards, excuse me, in the last 3 games. Duke Johnson as well. I don't know how he can be in your lineup as you go into the fantasy playoffs. Rushed 9 times for 36 yards, 5 of 6 for 54 and a touchdown. Just great. I guess the passing volume is what keeps him somewhat relevant. Carlos Hyde is out of your lineup if he's been in your lineup until further notice. With that, guys, let's pick this game. I'm going to take the Houston Texans, particularly because I love to watch the Broncos fade away. And that's just my AFC West bias. Obviously happy to see the Chiefs beat the Raiders. Big matchup this week here against the Patriots. But unfortunately, I am not. Well, fortunately, probably I am. I'm not covering that game. So that one's going to come to you guys, courtesy of Walshy. Well, let's move on, guys. 49ers at the New Orleans Saints. It's a 1 o'clock start as well. Let's start on the 49ers side of the ball. Couple possible shadow matchups here. Debo Samuel versus Marshawn Lattimore. You had Emmanuel Sanders against Eli Apple. You know, Samuel balled out, quite frankly, in weeks 10 and 11 with Sanders playing limited snaps due to the injury. But the vet has out-targeted the rookie in three of his four games when playing basically healthy. So the concern is who can and who will kind of see that wide receiver two, quote-unquote, workload here from Jimmy G. You know, I just don't know. George Kittle, since he's been back to kind of being healthy and being that guy, he's got 10 targets over the past 2 weeks. Sanders with 7, Samuel with 6, and then it's a mixed bag kind of behind the rest of them. I don't know that you can have any kind of confidence on who is going to be the guy. I think realistically, you're looking at boom or bust wide receiver threes with these guys until something realistically happens. Kittle going 2 for 17 in week 13 is just, it happens. He's PPR tight end number 6 through 13 weeks, guys. He's a tight end one, unquestionably. So don't overthink it. Bad weeks happen. There's not a ton you can do there, minus overthink it, which is going to get you absolutely fucking nowhere. The running game, I think, is the most interesting part of this offense, particularly for fantasy owners, because you look at what Coleman had done and kind of had been the guy that was in your lineup without question. You trusted him. And all of a sudden, things aren't so good for Tevin Coleman. Since his 4 TD game, guys, against the Panthers in Week 8, he has been the running back 47 and half PPR leagues. Gus Edwards, J.D. McKissick, Peyton Barber have outscored Tevin Coleman in that time span. So that's not great, right? He played a season-low 18.2% of the snaps last week. 5 carries, 6 pathetic yards. Raheem took over the lead duties, 19 for 146 and a touchdown. He played almost 73% of the snaps. He seems to always seize the opportunity, and I think it continues to be his job to lose. Matt Breida is supposed to come back from the ankle injury this week. I don't know if that happens or not, but I think Tevin Coleman is just, he should have been on your bench already. If he's not, he's definitely on your bench. And he may be irrelevant for you the rest of the way if you win this week or, you know, move on to the championship game or whatever may still be to come. I don't think you can have any sort of confidence as you try and play the running game. On the flip side of the ball, guys, let's talk about the Saints. Drew Brees, he's a QB too, guys. He played Atlanta, Tampa Bay, Carolina, and he was not anything special in what essentially should have been good matchups for him in fantasy football. You shouldn't be playing him. He's the name. He's good for Michael Thomas. He's a wide receiver one without question. I don't even think we really need to get into that. Alvin Kamara, a running back one. He's averaging 7.8 receptions and 9.8 carries over the last 4-game stretch. You could argue he's a candidate for touchdown regression in a positive way. Last year, he had 18 TDs in 15 games. He's at 2 through 10 games this year. So, again, it is what it is. He's playing San Francisco. Can you predict the touchdowns against them? No. They were a good defense. But at some point, the points have to come. Latavius Murray is just a must-have handcuff, and at this point, you own him or you don't. There's nothing you can really do about that. As far as the tight end position, though, guys, Jared Cook, 10, 2, 8, and 6 targets with a bunch of yards to kind of match. He gets the number 2 defense against fantasy football tight ends, but he's still a tight end one. There's just, you know, when you look at the matchup, and it is... It is what it is, right? I mean, only Mark Andrews has more PPR points than Cook since he returned from injury in Week 10. You got to roll a dice even in a tough matchup here. And that means we're going to pick them, guys. And I don't think it's super hard to pick. It's the San Francisco 49ers for me. Take it all the way through to the Bengals at the Browns. Holy Toledo, guys. Cincinnati Bengals go out and they make Vinny a very happy man, which is not an easy thing to do nowadays because he's been in a dark place with the way Andy Dalton has made it happen. But alas, here we are, Bengals at the Browns. Let's start on the Bengals side of the ball with the red fucking rifle, baby. He's leading the team here once again, and I know that makes Vinny happy. That should make fantasy football owners actually very happy. Sorry, I lost my point here. The big winner here is Tyler Boyd, right? PPR wide receiver 16 in weeks 1-8 with Andy Dalton. Just went 5-59 and a touchdown on 10 targets against the Jets. He's the number one passing target in this offense. He's a wide receiver too. I think you can even even take a look at Auden Tate. And I think he's a wide receiver three. He's played well with Andy Dalton. He's caught at least three passes and gained 50 receiving yards in all but two games this season with Andy Dalton under center. We're not going to see AJ Green. For those of you that still own him, please stop. Again, at this point, I don't know why you even care, but it is what it is. That's about it. We're not interested in Tyler Eifert. We're not interested in CJ, who is mom. Sorry. They both dropped touchdowns last week, which sucks. But it doesn't matter because you're not playing them anyway. As far as the running game, guys, obviously Joe Mixon leads the charge. I'm just looking at an update on him. I don't have his stats in front of me. Last week against the Jets, Mr. Joe Mixon, 19 for 44 and a touchdown, 4 receptions for 26 yards. It's tough because he had a lot of work, but the Jets are a good run defense, so that's kind of just the way it goes. He gets a Browns unit that is not so good. He's a running back too, which is a nice return to fantasy relevance after a not so great I don't even want to say start, but middle ground, we'll call it for him. That's it on the Bengals side of the ball, guys. Super excited for Tyler Boyd to continue his resurgence with the red rifle at the helm. And not words I thought I would hear myself say, but alas, here we are. All right, guys, let's talk Browns side of the football. We'll kick it off. Baker Mayfield obviously leading the charge here for the Browns. Wide receiver Odell Beckham is one of the most frustrating fantasy owns of the wide receiver position. And the Bengals guys have actually allowed the 10th fewest PPR points to opposing wide receivers this year. His lack of production is just, it puts you in a bad spot, right? Because you want to trust OBJ to give you something, but you can't. I guess he's a wide receiver too, in not a great matchup, and he really hasn't produced. The winner here has been Jarvis Landry. Since the Browns' Week 7 bye, he's been PPR wide receiver 2 behind only Mike Evans. He's had at least 10 targets in 5 of 6 games during the stretch, and unfortunately, he was held to 3-30 and 4-47 last year with no touchdowns against the Bengals, but I'm not fearing the matchup, despite the Bengals secondary being decent, as we just noted. But good to note, but Landry needs to be in your lineups 110% of the way. I'm not at all concerned or interested in Higgins or Hodge. They're not on the fantasy radar. Tight end, I think the only interesting note, David Njoku. We don't know when he's going to be activated, how healthy he is, but he gets the Cardinals next week. So as you look forward, I think that's a good thing to watch because he's in an offense where they've kind of quote unquote gotten their shit together. So I think just important to note. Nick Chubb, guys, obviously, if you own him, you are starting him. We have watched Kareem Hunt come into relevance again, dare I say. But if you picked him up off the waiver wire, sat on him. Kareem Hunt gets a Bengals team that is, I don't really know how I say it, not great. He's a running back three here against the Bengals, and you know, he has a nice little role here in the passing game. He caught five for 19 yards and a touchdown in the Week 13 game to the Steelers. So some upside for sure, and that means we are gonna pick this game, guys. And give me Andy Dalton and the fucking Bengals, baby. Here we go, Vinny. That one's for you. I don't know why I just did it, but it's for you. So I hope it works out, because if not, it's just one in the lost column for me. The final game of the Part 1 preview, guys, the Dolphins at the Jets. Let's start on the Dolphins side of the ball. They are playing in New York. Ryan Fitzpatrick seems to have brought in life to this Dolphins offense. Since coming over to the offense, guys, Devontae Parker has, quote-unquote, been reborn. He's consistently given Devontae Parker double-digit targets per game since week 11, guys. 7 for 135 and 0, 6 for 91 and 0, 7 for 159 and 2. He's been a wide receiver, a top 21 wide receiver the past 3 weeks. Really, 4 of the last 5, which is incredible for what you thought was probably a wash. He's a wide receiver too against a Jets defense that has not been great against wide receivers. I think he has a very, very big week. We watched Darius Slayton do it, Golden Tate, Preston Williams, and Hearns and Albert Wilson are not relevant. There's just no trust. The true number two wide receiver in Miami comes from the tight end position, which is a bit of a surprise. But he has lined up, guys, in the slot or out wide on 78% of his snaps this season. Gives Fitzpatrick a nice big target. I think he's a low-end tight end one going into this matchup. So, again, you could have some shitty tight end options. I think you can play him here, particularly if you wanted to roll him over Fells, Rudolph, guys that need the tight end. I think there's more upside, dare I say, in this Dolphins offense than the touchdown dependency of maybe some of those other guys. We've come a long way on the Dolphins. It's been a roller coaster of a season, but it is funny to say the least, or to see how far we've actually come. On the flip side of the ball, guys, let's talk New York Jets. And you know what? Actually, I skipped the running game here for the Dolphins, so I'm going to jump back very, very quickly. Kalen Ballage goes down with an Achilles injury last week. Patrick Laird gets about 60% of the snaps against the Eagles. Ballage goes to the IR. So I think Laird is the guy, and I actually think he's a nice option for those in cheap DFS or someone who you really need to roll the dice on somebody. I think he'll have a nice little day here against the Jets. He went 4 for 43 and 5 targets as a receiver last week against Philly. We've watched Joe Mixon, Jalen Richard, and Darius Juice all meet or beat expectations against the Jets. And the Jets just placed inside linebacker C.J. Mosley on IR with a groin injury. I think there's an opportunity here if you want some risky upside. Again, I've put a lot of eggs in the Dolphins basket here, but the Jets are who we thought they were. I think in half PPR and full PPR, there's definitely some opportunity. Standard formats, not so much, but just something to keep in mind as you look forward here. Let's actually talk Jets side of the ball, guys, as the last team in part one of the preview here. Robbie Anderson, season high 10 targets in week 13, with Demaryius Thomas looking a little banged up with that hamstring injury. I think Robbie Anderson will be just fine. I think the guy that I'm more interested in actually is Jamison Crowder. Somehow goes 2 for 8 on 9 targets, but he's the most consistent wide receiver in the Jets offense. I don't think you should expect anything like that 2-8 line from last week. I think he is the play of the week here at wide receiver. He's playing a Dolphins defense who has just been brutal. He's played almost 87% of the snaps last week against the Bengals, which had his most targets since week one. I'm not worried about the drop. Sam Darnold is going to make it happen. Back in week nine, Crowder went for 883 and 1. He was wide receiver 10 that week. There's no reason to expect he does anything less. The game is a 45-point total, which is the seventh highest this week. Crowder needs to be in your lineup. He should be in DFS lineups. I don't know what he costs, but I think there's a lot of points scored, and I think a lot of them go here to Jameson Crowder, who's been a very, very, very pleasant surprise. Ryan Griffin catches at least 5 passes in 3 of the Jets' last 5 games. He's PPR tight end 15, I'm sorry, on the season. And he gets a tough matchup. So tight end number 2 here in this matchup. So you can't trust him. That's okay. I actually do want to see, I think there was a health update on Le'Veon Bell. He was not doing so hot. Let's see if we have a new update for you guys before we wrap this bitch up. He is out against the Dolphins for week 14. So he's sick. It is what it is. Hard to trust, but Bilal Powell and Ty Montgomery are going to split the responsibilities. They're playing the Dolphins, so it's such a shitty spot. I'd probably still look elsewhere. You don't know who you're going to trust and what's going to happen. But at this point, Le'Veon Bell is out. So time to look elsewhere, guys. And that's going to do it, quite frankly, guys, for Week 14, Part 1 preview. It is officially playoff time. I am also taking the Dolphins in that game. But it's time to put up or shut up, guys. You're either in the playoffs and you need to prove why you're there and go for the championship. If you're just outside and this is your last chance to get in, let's go make it happen. Quite a few notable injuries, big names out, possibly out. Keep your eye on the news Sunday morning. Instagram DM us, answer the poll on our story. Comments get lost, guys, so try and hit us other ways as well. But send them in. We'll answer them as quickly as we can. We want to see you guys win a fantasy championship alongside us. And we'll be competing there with you. So for Let's Talk Fantasy Football, guys, I am Nick Schreck. We will catch you on the flip side.
This has been Let's Talk Fantasy Football. Thanks for listening.